minister. He's not here because he gave Sunday's sermon, but he also gave us a Christmas Eve homily. So this is Outside the Inn by the Reverend Dr. Stanley Sears, minister of this church. Luke chapter 2, verses 7 says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." There was no place for them in the inn. Reverend Sears writes, "I and nearly every other minister that I know has used those words nearly every year, if not every single year, when leading in Christmas service." All of us know the story about Joseph and Mary, his pregnant wife. First, they are forced to travel to Joseph's homeland. When they arrive, they are told there is no room for them in the inn. It is a story for the traveler in each of us. Think of the times you have been a stranger in a different land or community. Perhaps there were times when you have traveled without making reservations, expecting to find a place to stay, only to run into a row of no vacancy signs. Yet this is no foreign land, it's Joseph's family's hometown. Were there no cousins, let alone a sibling, who could have welcomed them into their home? This is where his family's roots are. I've often found it strange that Luke focuses on no room at the inn and never mentions the fact there were no family members or old friends who would take them in while Mary gave birth. I don't know about your families, but in my extended family, we have always found room for one another, regardless of whether our politics or religious beliefs were 180 degrees apart. Sometimes it was a sleeping bag or a fold-out couch. Often it would be a guest room. In several cases, our solo host gave up his or her bed and slept on a smaller bed or even a couch. Families do that, and so do close friends. Hospitality is easy to practice when you know the people. It's much more complex, we might say, when you are dealing with strangers. And this is the position the innkeeper found himself in when this man and his pregnant wife showed up at his inn on a night when he already had a full house. I think the innkeeper often gets a bum rap. After all, what restaurant owner or hotel manager or even minister would complain about having a full house? This was the situation that our innkeeper found himself in that winter evening. So he did the best that he could. The stable was probably pretty pungent, to say the least, but it would protect them from the wind and moderate the cold. Author Luke knows that the innkeeper is really a very minor character, so he does not even give them a name. He is quite literally the innkeeper. The poor guy was all sold out and did his best to help the couple. Students of religion know that birth stories are important because they can be used to explain all the important stuff that happens much later in the hero's life. Luke was writing at least 60 years after Jesus had died, so he knew where the story was headed. He knew what Jesus had taught, and some of the amazing things that Jesus was reported to have said and done. He knew that Jesus would go on in life to hang around and even eat with unsavory characters that would include prostitutes, tax collectors, lepers, and people with other nasty diseases. He was not afraid to be near people that repulsed or angered the so-called good people. So when he started to write his story, which we call the Gospel according to Luke, he created a birth scene that would be fitting for someone who would go on to seek the company of downcasts and outsiders. What more appropriate place for the quintessential outsider to be born than outside the inn, in the stable, with the smelly animals that people depended on but did not want to be close to when they weren't using them? A couple of weeks ago, a 53-year-old man in the transient encampment in Ithaca, New York, known as the Jungle, burned to death when his tent caught fire. Although Ithacans like to brag about how enlightened our community is, Reverend Sears says, we still have people burning to death in tents in single-digit temperatures. There was snow last week in the Holy Land. Perhaps some of you saw the New York Times pictures of a man swimming in a glass-enclosed pool in Jerusalem while it was snowing outside. Bethlehem was undoubtedly warmer than Rutland or Ithaca during this time of the year. However, there is no getting away from the fact that it was a cold experience in more ways than one. We know the innkeeper did the best that he could. It is probably safe to say that few, if any, of the townspeople knew what was going on. Looking back, we would like to think they would have done something if only they knew, if only they cared. Still, we wonder how a town full of people could have just stood by as this pregnant couple was shuffled off to a stable to give birth, just as we are shocked when we hear stories about the plight of the homeless in our own community, people burned to death in tents, or women giving birth in cars and alleys. In the words of my late colleague, Clark Wells, we need this story to rouse us from our indifference. We need it to appeal to the better, more compassionate part of ourselves that wants to stop, help, and make a difference in another person's life. The inn is more than a boarding house in Bethlehem. It's a metaphor that points to our society and how we include some and exclude others. The National Coalition for the Homeless tells us that there are no ways of accurately counting how many people are homeless in America. While they know how many people turn up in shelters, they do not know how many are spending the night living rough by sleeping under an overpass or a bridge. I see them almost every time I ride along one of the rivers or canals in Montreal or Philadelphia. I see them carrying their crudely made signs in downtowns, at metro stations, and by exit ramps from highways where cars are lined up. As I look at them, a haunting refrain from the old Phil Ochs song comes to mind. There, but for fortune, may go you or I. There are others who are outside the inn. Perhaps the most visible ones are the 12 million or so who are often referred to as the illegals or the undocumented workers. They may not have papers, but if it were not for the work they are doing, we would not have as robust an economy, and prices would be far higher on many of the food, goods, clothes, and other necessities that we count on their labor to provide. I know that it is difficult for most of us to empathize with these people, many of whom entered our country illegally. We can try and legislate them into some non-existent status as we deny our dependence on them. Or we can try to figure out how to add more rooms to the inn of America so they will no longer be political footballs to be kicked around by xenophobes and political demagogues. We also need to look at what we can do to improve things in their own countries so they will not have to leave everything behind for economic necessity or to flee from wars. We need stories such as this to rouse us from our indifference and our ennui, from our lack of caring and our shortcomings when it comes to compassion. We know that we can do better. And so, before we go home to open our gifts and share a glass of port, we listen to this story about a child who was born in a crude stable because there was no room at the inn. Millions of baby Jesuses are born equally, if not more squalid and threatening circumstances. Some are born on roads out of Syria or in refugee camps throughout the world. Finally, we return to this story each year because it reminds us that the spirit that animated our Universalist forebears, who taught that the only God they could proclaim would be one of all-conquering love, who saw a kernel of goodness within every person, even when it was opaque to the rest of us. The man whose birth we celebrate tonight was one whose vision was so keen that he could see goodness when others could not. So he fed them, he healed them, and he even provided wine to celebrate their weddings, because he knew that when two people could come together in love, others were sure to follow. The more we love, the more we care, the greater we can develop and cultivate our capacities for compassionate living. Maybe even to the point where no one will be forced to live outside the inn, let alone be born there.